Genesis chapter 2. We'll be breaking in about the 18th verse. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. If you found your place, say amen. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to all fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmate meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would speak through us for just a few moments of time, and that you will open the hearts and the ears of the people, Lord, that they can receive your message this morning. Lord, speak through these stammering lips. Move me out of the way. And Lord, you have your perfect way this morning. Lord, I want to tell you that I love you. And I thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, I can't preach this morning, but I need something from heaven. Lord, speak to us. Give us fresh oil, Lord, like you never have before. And we'll love you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter that Adam is in the garden. He is told here by God that there's a tree in the garden and he's forbidden to eat of this tree. God has given him a beautiful place and he said, you can have it all, but there's one tree in this garden I don't want you to touch. I don't want you to eat of it. Don't bother it. Stay away from it. And that's the instructions that God has given him. But God realizes that Adam is alone, and it's not good for a man to be alone. So we see here by the scriptures that he calls the deep sleep to come over Adam, and he puts him asleep, and he takes out a rib, and he makes a woman, and makes a helpmeet for the man. And I got to thinking about all of that when God spoke this message to me, and I got to thinking about my family and me and my wife, and I got to thinking about we're getting ready to celebrate our anniversary, and I got to thinking about that, and the Lord said, I want you to preach on anniversaries. So that's what I'm going to preach about this morning is anniversaries. You've never heard it before, but I'm going to preach on it this morning and give you what the Lord has given me. Now, anniversary means, I want to give you the meaning of what the anniversary means. It means a celebration of an annual date, a past event of a personal or a historical importance. That's what an anniversary is. You set that date to remember that date. There's something wonderful, something important has happened, and you never want to forget that date. So we set an anniversary to remember what has went on in our lives. Now this message is going to be twofold. It's going to be on the natural side and the spiritual side. So today I'm going to get right into the natural side of what an anniversary really means. And to have an anniversary, they've got to be a time of courtship. Anybody know what courtship is? You know, that's not a popular thing anymore. I'm going to get on this for a minute. It's not popular to court anymore. But there needs to be a time of courtship between a man and a woman. And I got to thinking about that, and over in Proverbs 3 and 5, you know, when I was thinking about wanting a wife and wanting to get a woman into my life, I thought about this scripture. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." And if I was going to find a woman that God wanted me to have, I wasn't going to lean on my own thoughts or what was going on in my life. I had to trust Him to send me the woman that I needed in my life. Now, a lot of you men, I'm going to tell you this morning, I've tried to wreck my life. You know, we're drawn to look at women, and we see these women when we're not married, and we're like, you know, we're looking out over all these women. We're looking for that one, that special one. We're waiting for God to prick our hearts and say, that's the one right there. And so I had that desire. I had been through a lot of bad relationships. My life was spiritually wrecked because of relationships. I'm going to tell you young men that are here today that are single, you need to seek the will of God for your life and ask God to help you and to direct you towards the one you're going to spend the rest of your life with. That was really weak. Oh no, he's going to get on that. I'm going to tell you this morning, with all things, with prayer and supplication, we need to seek the will of God. Amen? No matter what it is in our life, when we're seeking a wife, we need to be seeking the Lord first of all. So then, when I was seeking a wife, they've got to be a spark down inside. And I remember I was singing with a quartet at the time, and we had to go to this fire hall in Kentucky to do a benefit, and they asked us to come sing. And I was going there to sing, and I wasn't expecting nothing. You know, I was a 16, 17-year-old boy, and I'd been traveling with this quartet, and, you know, I was single at the time, and you know, I'd seen all these pretty girls and stuff, and they'd wooed me here and wooed me there. Guys, don't look at me like you're staring at a new gate now. You've been there too. And so I went to this fire hall to do this benefit, and all of a sudden when I walked through the door, my heart got pricked. There she was. The Lord said, right there. I'm telling you, I'm standing for the Lord right now, and He knows what I'm about to tell you. He spoke to my heart. He pricked my heart and said, right there is your wife. I turned around, I was like, did I just think that, or did that really just happen? And about the time I doubted that God had spoke to me that way, He spoke it again and said, there's your wife. She was standing on the stage singing, and there might as well not have been anybody else there. She was all I could see. I was like, yes! That's her right there. That's good, Lord. I appreciate it. So my heart was pricked. So I pursued her. And the next point is that they have to be a dating time. So I pursued her by the will of God. I got to know her. I introduced myself. And I introduced myself to her 39 brothers and her 59 sisters. And I met all of them and told them I was interested in their sister. And I'll never forget her oldest brother laughed at me. He about laughed in my face. He said, ha ha, you'll be lucky if she breathes on you. And I thought, well, that just sent my chances to the ground. So there had to be a time of dating. And I got to thinking about Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 when the Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I desired to have a wife so that my labor for God would really count in my life. And I asked God, I said, God, send me a woman that I can serve you with, God, and I can honor you with, that will love you most of all and love me and commit to me, and I can commit to her, and we can do your will. This was the things I was praying as a 16, 17-year-old boy. I was praying this prayer. And God heard my supplication, and He heard what I cried unto Him, and He sent me this woman. And I put my eyes on her, and my heart was pricked, and we began to talk, and we began to date, and all that began to happen. And, you know, it was a long courtship there, and you know, we did it the right way. I appreciate a godly woman that loved the Lord. You know, there was nothing physical ever went about us. And I remember 9 months into the courtship, I thought, man, if I could just hold her hand, it'd be awesome. You know, I tried to scoot over close to her, you know. And I get closer and closer, and all of a sudden I could tell she was scooting over too. She didn't want her good to be evil spoken of. She had been taught by the ways of God, and she knew what it was, what it meant to be a woman of God and to honor God, and how she was to keep herself pure. And I was the same way. I didn't want any of that. I wanted a woman that would honor God. And 9 months later, one day I felt her hand slip into my hand. My heart was like that, you know. I was like, yes, I got to hold her hand. And I thought I had done something great because I got to hold her hand. That's the kind of courtship that you need. Listen to me, young people. You don't need to be touching one another. You need to be loving God and seeking God for the will of your life. Can I get a witness this morning? It's not popular this day and time. They want to live together. They want to live in sin. They want to have all the relationships and do all of that. And then think about getting married. Shame on you. You ought to get married now. You ought to, if you committed to a woman, you ought to get married to her and love her and honor her. She's precious in God's sight. So here I saw this woman, and I was infatuated with what God wanted in my life. And I had fallen deep in love with her. I didn't know she was as much in love with me as I was with her. But, you know, she would write us letters. We didn't have phones to text and all that, Brother Greg, way back then, you know. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Brother Tim, you know what I'm talking about. Help me out here. And we'd write letters, you know, sweetheart letters. And we'd write that letter, and I'd send it out on Monday morning. She'd send hers out on Monday morning. And about Friday evening, that letter would come in. And I'd grab that letter up. Before I'd even open it, I'd be like, ugh. Come on now. Ugh. Oh, yeah, this is going to be good. Let me open this thing up. And I'd open it up, and I'd begin to read. And the words coming off that page would speak to me. I'd grow more in love, and I couldn't wait to get to her, you know, and I could talk to her, and I could look her in the eyes, and I could just stare at her, you know, because I was in love. And I thought about the Song of Solomon over in chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes." And that's the way I'd look at her, like, oh, yeah. Oh, you are beautiful to me. And I was infatuated. I couldn't see nothing else. That's all I thought about was her. And then I began to think about, I want to spend the rest of my life with her. And I want to have a home. And I want to have a family. And I want to have all these things. And I got to thinking, I want to do the will of God first. God, I want you first in my life. You show me what to do. And we went through this courtship, and we did it the right way, and we honored God. And then finally one day, I got up there, and I got up the nerve, and I went to her father, and I asked her father for his hand, and he said, "She's old enough. If she wants to marry you, that's fine." He said, "I have one thing. You got to beat on her. You bring her back to the house." And he didn't. I said, "Listen, I'm not going to beat on her. I'm going to love her. I'll never put my hands on her, and if I have to put my hands on her, I'll bring her back home." And I can stand before you today and tell you by the authority of God's Word, I've never laid my hands on that woman. I have loved that woman. I have honored that woman. And I praise God that I've honored her memory, her thought, and her love. I've honored her by the will of God. How about you today? I hope you as a husband can say the same thing. These scriptures spoke to me. And it's wonderful being in love and having this happen in your life and all this going on. And therefore, we got married and we set an anniversary. When we got married, there was a date set. Now, every year, we celebrate that date of that communion and that coming together and becoming one flesh before God. We celebrate that every year, every year, every year. And it's been an honor every year, every year. And the years have flown by and flown by, and all these years have passed, and we love the anniversary. We love to spend it together. We may do, it's hard to tell what we'll do. I'll never forget one anniversary. I was working on a job laying tile, and the plumbing was bad, and we had to tear the concrete up, and it was our anniversary. I said, "Let's go rent a jackhammer for our anniversary and bust concrete." She said, "Okay." I ain't never run a jackhammer. And on our anniversary, she's running and standing behind a jackhammer. You know, busting. That's the kind of woman that I got. Hallelujah. You know, she's helped me change transmissions, work on motors, build houses, remodel houses. I mean, she might as well be wearing a cape. That's the kind of woman I got. I thought about that dress you got on that bed. She should be wearing that dress. Superwoman. And you men ought to feel the same way about your wives. Amen. Well, let's change gears real quick for just a moment. Let's look at the spiritual side of it. About an anniversary. I remember when I was lost and undone without God. And I needed something in my life. And I needed a courtship in my life. I need somebody to help me feel not so alone in my life. So there was a spark in my life to seek the will of God. In Matthew 11:28, I heard the preacher preach when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That pricked my heart as a lost man and began to speak to me and show me that there was something out there that could help me. In Isaiah 53:4, he says, "Surely he has bore my grief and carried my sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." I got to see about a man that loved me. In Galatians 1:4, he said, who gave himself for our sins, that we might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." He's speaking to me, pricking my heart, telling me what He can do for me. So I decided after hearing a lot of that, I would start going to church. I would go and hear what the preacher had to say. So in another sense, I started dating the Lord. I started going to the church and I started hearing what the Bible had to say in Isaiah 55:6. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call up on Him while He is near." I'd go into the church house and I could feel the presence of God. I could feel God wooing me. And it's like a courtship, like dating, okay? It's like He's wooing me in, telling me these things. And all of a sudden in Romans 5:8, He said, "But God commendeth His love toward us. And while, Brother Tim, we were sinners, while me and you were good for nothing, Christ died for us." I sat on that seat back there and I thought, surely the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, does He love somebody like me? And sure enough, the preacher preached that He did love. And when he said John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I started experiencing what true love was really all about. I hope today you've experienced true love and you know what it is. He pricked my heart. We had a dating time together. I had to get to know who He was. In Jeremiah 31:3, He said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee." With His loving kindness, He drawn me. And then there in John 15, He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you." I'm talking about falling in love with Jesus at this time. I have got starry-eyed. I have fallen in love. I have found the answer. And it has spoke to my life. And I'm ready now. And I'm thinking about what can I do. And the preachers are preaching. And I'm really not hearing nothing because I'm in love. I want to go to Jesus. And I want to give Him my life. And I just wonder what I could do. And all of a sudden the preacher says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead," he said, "thou shall be saved. And I'll tell you what I done. I don't know what happened next, but I know one thing. I flinched and I was at the altar in the preacher's arms. We's on the altar on our knees crying out to God. And I was getting married at that very moment to God Almighty. Why? He came seeking a bride. The bridegroom came seeking a bride, and I become the bride of Christ. And that day I knelt down and I give my heart to Jesus. Therefore in heaven they will set an anniversary date of when I met the Savior. He wrote it down in the book of life. And I'm glad one day after a while, I'm going to stand before God. And He's going to pull out His anniversary book. He's going to look over that book. And brother, He's going to see your name wrote there. There's going to be an anniversary date. And He's going to say, because of that, enter into the joys of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful just over a few things. Enter in now. What a time that's going to be for the children of God. Amen. Anniversaries. You need an anniversary date in your life. Here this morning, you might not have one. There's been a time that, let's talk about the natural, physical part of it. Maybe you've never got married. Maybe you're alone. You don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you this morning, God loves you. And it's not His will that you should perish, but that all should come under repentance. If God has placed a good man in your life, you ought to marry him. God's placed a good woman in your life, you ought to marry her. If God's blessed you to have somebody in your life and you're infatuated, you're in love, and God's doing that great thing in your life, you ought to marry him. You ought to make a commitment. You ought to have a stamped anniversary date that you can celebrate, amen, in your life. Now, a lot of us go through a lot of things, and, you know, we've had hardships in our lives, and our marriage has not been perfect. It's not been a bed of roses, but we've loved God, we've loved each other, but we've loved Him most of all. And no matter how hard it's got, how bad it's got, He's always got us through. There've been times we didn't know how we'd pay the bills, and we say, God, we don't know how we're going to pay the bills, and God would get us through. God would make a way. And we were sitting the other day on the porch and we were talking. I said, honey, you know what? We're getting older now. And a lot of our friends and family that have been married for several years, they're starting to bury their companions. We began to talk about it. And I said, honey, there's going to come a day you or me or one's going to go. And we talked about all that. And we loved on each other. And it's a sad thing to talk about. Some of you all done been through that. And God has given you strength and God is getting you through. And you know what I'm doing? I'm pulling strength from you. You're giving me the hope that I know that I can overcome if that day was to come for me. Amen? See, by your witness is how I overcome. When I see you overcoming, it helps me overcome. A lot of you in this church have been through a lot of this stuff. And I watch your witness. I watch your walk with the Lord. And it strengthens me in my life. And I celebrate your anniversary, and I love your anniversary. And it reminds me how God is going to bring me through, amen, and bless my life. But maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You can't even recall a time that you ever met the Savior. You've ever fallen in love, and you've never made a commitment to Him. Well, I'm telling you today, God's given me this message to tell you, today's the day. Today's the day that you need to get married. I'm not ready to get married. You better get ready. Because in the hour that you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. So cometh the bridegroom. So cometh the great marriage and the great reunion. And where will you be then if that time was to come? As every head is bowed and every eye closed,